Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I don't know where I've picked it up lately, but over and over as I begin to worship Him, all I can think of is Creator, Redeemer, hallelujah. How many knows He's our Creator? I said He's our Creator. We are His people, the sheep of, but He's not just our Creator. He's our Redeemer. Glory to God. Oh, let's worship Him one more time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 God, have Your eternal way in this service. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 2. When you read your Bible, if you can only see out of one eye, here's a lens they just found in the pew. So if you're missing the lens out of your glasses, amen. Mark chapter 2. Don't forget tonight, I know sometimes when revival services are over, you can fill in your mind there, but let's hit the prayer room before service. Fill it up like folks have been doing all during revival, and let's pray. Believe God to move in this service. Tonight's a great night for God to save somebody. Amen. Amen. So be in prayer for that. And this week, there's been some, by the way, newcomers class tonight at 6, but this week there's been some cancellations. We'll have prayer meeting at 10 o'clock, but the Women of Purpose meeting has been canceled this month. We've had a busy week last week and different things. So the Women of Purpose and the board meeting, we canceled it as well. And then Friday at 6:30, and we will have Wednesday night service. I just now saw this. Okay, let me say this real clear. We will have Wednesday night service. If you heard, let me see your hand just because. Okay. I'm not being facetious. I'm not. It's just human nature. But I usually can announce something about 6 times, and then I always have people come to me and say, I never heard that. So I'm going to do it one more time. But before I do, make sure your neighbor's awake. That's good anyway on Sunday morning. Just make sure your neighbor's awake. Shake them real good. Give them the old wife elbow to the husband's rib kind of thing, you know. Amen. Okay, we will have service and kids' classes on Wednesday night. I just failed to put it back in the bulletin after revival. And then Friday at 6:30 is youth night. And who knows what is this Saturday? Sunday school picnic, that's always a highlight. Amen. You'll enjoy it. We'll get you some directions if it's your first time, and it'll be a good time. Amen. We are in this series on Sunday morning, the Jesus response. I just want to say briefly, I'm glad He does respond to human need. Amen. How many remembers a day when Jesus responded to your need? Amen. Would you stand for the reading of God's Word? We'll read just enough of the story to tweak our memory right now. We'll look at the remainder in the preaching. But in Mark chapter 2 and verse 1, and again, He entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that He was in the house. Something about when I read that, I just want to stop and shout right there. He was in the house. Choir members, how many of you remember He is in the house? Remember? And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And He preached the word unto them. And they come unto Him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. And when they could not come nigh unto Him for the press, they uncovered the roof where He was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy laid. And to get the rest of the story, you'll have to stick with the message. But I want to preach this morning on Jesus sees the deeper need. Jesus sees the deeper need. Not just in this story, but this morning in this house, Jesus sees the deeper need. Let's pray together. Would you pray with me for me? Just stretch forth a hand this direction. Lord, we pray for divine anointing. We pray You'd open our hearts, our lives. Oh, Jesus, be Jesus in me. Be Jesus in this house. Be Jesus, oh Lord, in these aisles, around this altar. Lord, in the preaching, save somebody this morning, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. You can be seated. I want to preach on Jesus sees the deeper need, but I want to share a little bit of the story. I never had an opportunity as a child to be around a movie star or a rock star or any kind of thing like that. And so the first time I encountered this, I was already grown and married, and it was during a presidential primary. And we were in the Joplin Mall, and where the corridors intersected, when we came in from another entrance, there was just a mob of people there. And I was wondering, what's going on? A fight? You know, what is it? And we asked somebody as we began to move towards just that mass of people, and they said, well, that's Senator Bob Dole. He's come to the mall. He was running for the primary. I thought that was pretty neat, so I walked up there, and I mean, they were just mobbing the guy. I mean, he was just massed around and pushing and trying to shake his hand, and he's a shorter man, and, you know, I had to get up on my tiptoes to see him right there in the mess of it all. I mean, just a crowd milling around and reaching, and it was, I'd never seen anything like that. But, you know, that makes me think of this house that day. When Jesus came to Capernaum, it was noised that he was in the house. And the crowd came massing around, filling up the rooms of the house, filled up the atrium, filled up the foyer, spilled out through the door. I mean, there were three or four in the door trying to reach their, crane their necks into here. And the yard was filled up, spilled out into the street. Why? Because Jesus was in the house. Could I tell you, even with all the internet advertisement and television advertisement and all the electronics, the best advertisement for the church is still the news that Jesus is in the house. Oh, hallelujah. You don't want to know why? Because if Jesus is in the house, salvation is in the house. If Jesus is in the house, deliverance is in the house. If Jesus is in the house, healing is in the house. If Jesus is in the house, peace is in the house. Oh, I want to tell you, it's not a dusty storm. I can say with confidence through the power of the Holy Spirit that this morning Jesus is in the house. Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. We got to understand something else that I've been consumed with later. Even though many thought he was just a carpenter from Nazareth, wherever Jesus was, God was. Because Jesus was the God-man, the man-God, fully God, fully man. They thought it was just a carpenter who decided to teach. But when Jesus was at a place, God was at that place. And there that day, at that spot in the man's house where Jesus stood, you could mark an X. And at that X in time and place and history, God was there because Jesus was there. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. When Jesus came to town, God Almighty came to town. Amen. God is in the house this morning because Jesus is in the house. Amen. And verse 2, it says, they gathered together, and what did he do? He preached the word unto them. I'm not trying to be reactionary, but I want to tell you the church of today has made so many things other than Jesus the attraction. Come to church and you'll get a gift card for free gas. Amen. Amen. All kinds of things. Amen. Well, we got to have the world's kind of music to draw folks. Amen. Well, we got to. What's wrong with letting Jesus be the attraction? Hallelujah. Amen. He was in the house. He wasn't doing magic tricks. He wasn't showing his athletic medals. He wasn't even singing. He wasn't calling out bingo numbers. Amen. He wasn't having an ice cream, hosting an ice cream social. Amen. He was the attraction. And what was he doing? He was preaching the word. He was sharing the word of life. Oh, he was telling them what God was saying to them. I want you to know that should still be the attraction in 2014. It ought to be the word of God. Thank God for good singing. Amen. Thank God for good facilities. Thank God for friendly folks. Oh, but the attraction to the lost, those in need, those that are despairing, should be Jesus is here and his word is going forth. Amen. I want to serve notice this morning across the building. If it's something other than the word of God that attracts you to the church, it won't be long. You'll give up on Jesus. You won't hang around Jesus very long. If it's anything but this word of God. Amen. I know some folks say, well, I go to that church because they got a good youth program, or they got a good drama, or they got a good... If it's anything other than this word that attracts you, you won't stay around Jesus long. Oh, but even though it was the word that was the attraction, even though he was teaching the word, he still stopped to deal with a specific need of a specific person. Oh, hallelujah. How many knows God does that? Amen. Right through the word, he begins to deal specifically with the specific need of an individual. Amen. He dealt that day with a need other than what people thought was the need. Amen. You know, we this morning, we may have some, if we thought about it, we may have some preconception of what the needs are in this house, and we may have some of them right, but I want to tell you something about Jesus. He knows the deeper need. He knows the unseen need, and he knows how to deal with the need in people's hearts that nobody else knows about. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to get in trouble because I didn't ask permission to share this illustration. Can I share it, Sister Hurst? Thank you. Amen. But some years ago over in the parsonage, Micah was up doing homework. He came to the bedroom. He said, Dad, there's a man in Mom's car. So I run out there. Should have called the cops first, but I ran out there screaming at him, bloody murder. That works good. Scared him. He ran off. Cops got there. We got to looking in her car. Had the dash tore up, broken, getting the radio out. But Sandra had been shopping the day before to get food for the youth outing that was the next night, and had the back seat filled with grocery bags of chips. And so this cop's trying to write down. He and I are looking at the dash. It's all tore up. And my wife kept telling him, he stole my chips. He stole my chips. And I said, honey, look at your dash. He stole my chips. Sometimes we think we know what the real need is. But Jesus knows and deals with the real need. The deepest need. We're going to see that in this story. I've never had that emphasis on this story before. And I'm not going to take long, but we got to get this. Because this is a wonderful thing about the response of Jesus. He sees the need we don't see. Amen. Let's look at the human need. In verse 3, they come unto him, buried one sick of the palsy. And I just got to say this. When this English here, when it was written, the word palsy doesn't mean the same thing we get the impression of. We think of shaking. Okay, but in King James English, and the original word palsy was paralysis. This man was a paraplegic. He couldn't walk, and maybe he didn't have use of his arms either, but we know that he couldn't walk. He had paralysis. He wasn't mobile. And I insult you sometimes in making things so simple, but the point is he couldn't get to Jesus on his own. His legs are paralyzed. He couldn't get to Jesus on his own. How many know that there are some folks in such a shape, they'll never come to Jesus on their own? They need that invitation. They need your friendship. because they'll never come to Jesus. You say, you know, isn't that kind of bad about Christ? Why didn't Jesus just go to him? But you've got to understand something. Jesus had already came all the way from heaven to earth. Jesus came to that man's village. Why didn't Jesus go to the man? Because Jesus came all the way to the man's town to give those in the man's town opportunity to bring him the rest of the way to Jesus. How many knows Jesus has come all the way from heaven? How many knows Jesus has come to this place, the church? And sometimes he's just waiting on us to bring those that can't come themselves or in such a shape, brother. He's just waiting for us to have the wonderful opportunity to bring them the rest of the way to Jesus. How many knows there are folks in your life that cannot come to Jesus on their own? They're in such horrible shape. Wouldn't you like to be the one like these four that brought them the rest of the way? He came all the way from glory. How does that work? I'll pick you up for church. I'll sit by you in church. I'll go up and pray with you in the altar. You're bringing them the rest of the way to Jesus. But this story shows us we can make the mistake the four friends made. We make the mistake by going on what seems apparent is the need. You see, the fact that the man had paralysis was not his deepest need. The fact that he could not walk, was a paraplegic, was not his deepest need. The fact that he could not work, hold a job, function, amen, in life, was not his greatest need. And we're going to have to proceed with the story to get to his greatest need. But let's do as we've been doing. Let's look at the usual, the probable response. First of all, the response that day was that there was no response. Until these four men responded, there was no response. Evidently, no one else besides those four, no one else thought to themselves, here is a man that cannot get to Christ on his own. We'll be the ones to take him. Amen. Here's a need. But evidently, till those four responded, nobody else responded to that man's need, his paralysis. Evidently, it gets a little worse than that, because after the four picked up that man and was carrying his pallet to Jesus, they got to the house and the crowd was so thick they couldn't get to the door. Another human response is nobody in that crowd, as they looked back to see what the activity was, nobody responded to clear a way for those men bearing that man. Nobody began to knock on shoulders, poke on shoulders and say, hey, wait a minute, someone's here, got a real need. This man, he can't walk. He can't get in here on his own. Let's make way. Come on out of that door. Move over. Let's make. Nobody responded. Even have you ever seen a time like that, even in church, where it doesn't seem like folks recognize the need that's in the house? Or they'd be saying, hey, wait a minute. Let's pray. Let's do this. Let's move. Let's make a way for the paralysis man to get to Jesus. In fact, sometimes, I know it's not that way here, but sometimes we just don't make room for him. You don't sit in my chair. Amen. You don't talk to my friends. I'm telling you, if a sinner walks in and they're a young person and they walk down to this pew right here, amen, young men ought to be going, saying, come here, we'll make room for you to sit. Amen. That's clear in the house to get the person to Jesus that has a need. Somebody walks in, it's evident. Amen. Sin in their life away from God. Somebody says, hey, I'll make room for you. You feel uncomfortable. I'll go sit by you. I'll be with you in church. Amen. Let's make room for the one with the need. There was no response that way. Amen. Amen. Now, this is something that's sad. We'll deal with it in a moment at the end. But others' response was to see the man as an occasion to raise an issue. I'm talking about the Pharisees. They knew the man had paralysis, but all they saw was a way to get at Jesus, the way to be contentious about Jesus. Have you ever wondered about politicians crying about racism and poverty? Have you ever wondered if they really care about those folks, or that the issue is just an occasion to promote themselves? Ever wondered that? Oh, I know You guys are all enthusiastic about your politicians, and you've never thought badly of them that way. And maybe it's just me. But I want you to know that's the way those Pharisees were. That man had paralysis, and they knew it, Brother Ryan. But they weren't concerned about the man's paralysis. They saw that day an opportunity to try to dig at Christ, to come against Christ, to combat with Christ. Look at verse 3. They came bearing this one born of four. Now, I don't have time to preach that, but three's not going to do because one corner of that gurney is going to be dropping down. Amen. Two's not going to do if you're going to get the guy up on the roof. You need all four. You need somebody on every corner. Amen, church. I'm not going to preach our Sunday night series, but I'm just telling you, if we're going to bring people to Christ, we need somebody on holding every corner of the gurney. Amen. Every corner of the stretcher. He was born of four. Verse 4, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Thank God there was a response that day. These four said, he needs help. Let's get him to Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Here we have an example of how we should respond to human need. Let's get him to Jesus. Amen. I know there's some impossible situations, even in your own family, even in your own neighborhood. Oh, but the people of God's response ought to be, let's get them to Jesus. Have you noticed in the story, they got him to Jesus, and Jesus took it from there. Hallelujah. How many believes if we would bring him to Jesus, Jesus can take it from there. Glory to God. They couldn't heal that man. They couldn't cause him to rise up off that pallet, but they could take. You can't straighten out the problems in your family member's life, but you can invite them to church, sit with them, amen, amen, walk with them to this altar, and I believe if you'll get him to Jesus, he'll take it from there. He'll do what we can't do. Hallelujah. What was the response of the crowd? Can you imagine? Now, I'm not going to time because to deal with this because you know this. The roofs back then were flat. I can't imagine being on an 8-12 roof and trying to get a pallet with a man up on it. Flat roofs. And can you imagine that crowd? I mean, they're packed in that atrium. And they're hanging on to Jesus' every word. I mean, and all of a sudden, there's scratching sounds on the roof. Come on, what would happen if you heard scratching on the roof? Everybody, wouldn't you this morning, right now, up here? I'm not going to name her. Someone, used, when they got bored in church, they would count the knot holes. At least have your hands up. They'll think you're worshiping. The people's response, it had to be, what's that noise? I think someone got aggravated. Who is that? Whose kid is that? Up there interrupting. Then it gets worse. It's not just scratching noises, but when they started coming through. They're getting my suit dirty. Isn't that human response? Oh, hallelujah. That's the way the people were responding as they begin. How did the owner respond? Now, let's think this is not the church. It's your house. Didn't you just roof your house? Somebody did. What would you be thinking? I just put that roof on there. I hope somebody's going to pay for that. I hope Jesus has insurance. Who's going to pay for this thing? Wouldn't you be responding that way? I'm talking about the response to the... Wouldn't you be responding that way if you were the owner? You ever heard that response? They're getting our pews dirty. They're leaving marks on the halls. Yeah. They're tearing up the Brock building. Amen? I mean, that was the man's response. They're getting germs on our water fountain. You ever seen the way some kids drink? It's not on the ark. How many's thirsty? Oh, you know, I told myself I wasn't going to say this because I'm trying to be restrictive and just deal with the specific theme. But I also want to imagine something else. Jesus is in that house. People crowd around. You know, lights weren't the way they are now. Windows weren't either. And I'm sure the face of Christ wasn't very well illuminated in the darkness of that home. But I'm telling you, those four did something else when they dug that hole in the roof, because they were right above Jesus. And when they broke through the roof, the sunlight came down through the hole and spotlighted the Son of God, that all could see who was in their midst. Oh, I'm telling you, that's what happens when we're concerned about human need. I believe a hole was broken up to heaven, and the light of God just spotlights Jesus in our midst. When a church is concerned about human need, Jesus is, oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Oh, I want to see your face. Amen. I begin to think, if instead of Jesus, it was me speaking. I was the one that was speaking. That would really upset me. I'm really easy distracted. I shouldn't have told you that. Don't do it on purpose. Amen. You know, people think whoever's up here is blind. I got to get going here. But people think whoever's up appears blind. You wouldn't believe what I see. And don't you think that it's distracting when you feel something on your heart and you're about ready to make a poignant point and you look out and somebody's clipping their toenails? Don't you know that's inspiring? That would have bugged me to death. I'm speaking, Sister. Who do they think they are to be working on the roof when I'm speaking? Tell them to get in here and sit down. She said, okay, she will. You better watch it. Oh, I said, hallelujah, aren't you glad Jesus doesn't always respond like we respond? I wasn't trying to be mean to folks. I'm trying to contrast the way we respond to the way Jesus responds. Let's talk about Jesus' response. First of all, Jesus sees the faith of the four. Verse 5, and when Jesus saw not the man's faith with the need, but when Jesus saw their faith, those that brought him to Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. How many gives me permission just to preach a little bit longer? Can I? Hallelujah. I said, when Jesus saw their faith, there's people in such a mess. They don't have much faith or any faith on their own. They're in such a mess they can't believe God. But this story gives us hope. When people aren't believing God for themselves, we can believe God for them. You say we can't literally bring them to Jesus like these four did. I beg to differ with you. Even every time you call their name out to God, you're bringing them to Jesus. Hallelujah. Bring them in prayer. And when he sees your faith, he's going to move in their life. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let's just stop and praise him. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your response. Oh, what I'm trying to say, Jesus first responded that day. He responded to those that were responding to human need. I want to tell you, nothing's ever changed. I believe Jesus still responds to those who are responding to human need. You want God to work in your life, care about the lost, care about the sick, care about the bound, and God will respond to those that are responding to human need. But that's not the message. Even though when Jesus saw their faith, he responded. Though it's not the message, let me briefly say, amen, this church world has made faith a hocus pocus, an energy to harness a force field. But I want you to know from this little scripture, faith is not a force field. Faith is not an energy to harness. Faith is not hocus pocus. Faith is believing enough to take action. It's believing. How did he see their faith? Because they came bringing the paralyzed man to him. They believed he was the healer enough to bring the cripple to him. I'm telling you, that's the kind of faith that pleases God. It's to believe him enough to act. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. In fact, it's not true faith unless it acts. James says in chapter 2, faith without works is dead. I'm going to stay away from that. But we got a whole lot of people today say you can have faith in God and go ahead and just live any way you want to. That's not faith. Because if you got the right kind of faith, the works of God will come pouring out of your life. Amen. Hallelujah. And then that's how Jesus responded to their need. He saw the faith of the four, but he also responded and diagnosed and spoke. And this is the message. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to preach a lot longer. It means I've got to really what I think this message is about for us. And Jesus' response, he diagnosed and he spoke to the deeper need. Listen, we got to get this. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, "Son, thy paralysis be healed." Is that what he said? He said, "Son." Why did they bring him to Jesus for his what? They brought him to Jesus for because of his body, his paralysis. But Jesus said, he didn't address the paralysis. He said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." The four friends, in all their compassion, because of the man's paralysis, failed to see that the man's real need wasn't paralysis. His four friends. They brought him to Jesus to be healed. They acted nobly. They acted compassionately. And even the crowd, even the Pharisees, assumed that the man's visible need was his greatest need. But Jesus' response to the man was to go immediately to the man's real need, which was not outward and visible. His real need was inward and invisible. Hallelujah. You know, this doesn't just tell us something about Jesus. Listen, this tells us something about the man. This tells us the man himself was not nearly disturbed about his paralysis as he was about his sin. This tells us this man was eaten up with guilt and condemnation and the darkness of his sins. Oh, aren't you glad that Jesus deals with the deeper need? Hallelujah. We always easily see the surface needs, but Jesus sees the deepest needs. How do I know this man was disturbed? Because in Matthew's version, Matthew chapter 9, just the last part, look what Jesus first says to this man in Matthew's version. He said, "Son, be of good cheer." Not get up from that pallet, but man, be of good cheer. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Hallelujah. From as far as I can study, Jesus is the only one that ever used this expression to the sick and the afflicted and those with trouble. Oh, but Jesus knew what was going on inside that man. The turmoil, the struggles, the emotional baggage, the sin. And the first words out of Jesus' mouth was, "Be of good cheer." Oh, hallelujah. He's saying that to somebody this morning. Amen. Your apparent need is not your real need. You know what's going on inside. You know the turmoil. You know the darkness. You know the pain. But I'm telling you, if you would listen, there's one that sees your need. And the first thing he's telling you, you can cheer up because I'm about to move and to work in your behalf. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, that just got a hold of me. Be a good cheer. The man, because of his sin, felt unworthy to approach Jesus for healing. There's no doubt in my mind. I know this is reading between the lines, Brother Joseph. But from what Jesus said to him, there's no doubt in my mind that man was thinking, "I'm too bad for Jesus to heal me." Can you see it in the picture? Be of good cheer. Why? Because a man's saying, "I'm too bad for Jesus." You don't have to raise your hand, but have you ever been there? "I'm too bad for Jesus to help me." Oh, come on, church. It's not just this man. There are multitudes of people at that place right now. Satan has convinced them they are too bad for Jesus to help. But I'm telling you, you can go to them as his ambassador and say, "Be of good cheer. None are too bad for Jesus," because that's why he came. Hallelujah. None are worthy, but none are too bad. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus dealt with the sin first. I want to tell you, and I must go forward, but a person can die with cancer and go to heaven, but a person cannot die with sin and go there. Therefore, Jesus dealt with the sin before he dealt with the paralysis. I'm sorry, it's sad when people are in awful physical shape. I've walked into the hospital rooms, awful ailments and diseases and heart trouble, but I must tell them, this is not your real need. You are without Christ. If you die like this, amen, without Christ, amen, you won't make it to heaven. You'll go to hell, amen. But if your sins are forgiven, even if your cancer takes your life, you'll enter in abundantly into God's heaven. Hallelujah. I mean, first things first, let's deal with the sin. I've told them the doctors come in to check on your body, but I've come, amen, to check on your soul. Glory to God. Listen, it's better to be physically handicapped and go to heaven than to have beauty and athletic ability and riches and go to hell. That's why Jesus said, first things first, forgive your sin. Oh, can you put that scripture back up to the... No, it's there, it's there, it's there. Hallelujah. I know I got to hurry. I'm the one hurrying myself, not you, but I'm telling you something else. Got a hold of me. I've never seen before, probably because I've never taken this tack before of looking at Jesus' response. But Brother Ryan, I don't know if someone else has noticed this. I want you to raise your hand. I've read it. I knew it was there, but I never noticed it before. How did Jesus address him? He's got sin in his life. He's a messed up person. But look at the tenderness. I knew a preacher woman once. Somebody ran into her. And I'm going to tell y'all she said. She got out of the car and she called him an unsaved Philistine, Amalekite. I mean, she just used every Bible word she could think of. Christian cussed. Jesus could have said, you reprobate, you rebel, you filthy sinner. But he said, son. Oh, how many's heard the Lord call you son or daughter? They walk in here, we see a rebellious teenager full of sin. But Jesus sees what he can make them. And he looks at that rebellious girl and says, daughter. Oh, come on, church. Hallelujah. Oh, by his grace and mercy, we become. Oh, he calls this man son. He's a sinner, but Jesus shows affection. His response is compassion. He sees what the man can be. He sees the deep need. He sees the hidden need. I've got to mention another response of Jesus, and I'll be quickly. But Jesus reads minds. Look at verse 6. There were certain scribes sitting there reasoning in their heart. So why did this man speak blasphemies? Who could forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? They were unwilling to believe Jesus was who he was. They were unwilling to accept what Jesus said. So these scholars, these religious leaders were arguing in their minds, looking for an occasion to attack Christ. They were arrogantly critiquing and criticizing everything that he did. And I want you to notice, they did something we often do. They got their premise right, but they got their conclusion wrong. Their premise is right. Only God can forgive and pardon sins. But their conclusion was wrong. They concluded that Jesus was not God. Oh, they should have got the conclusion right. The premise is right. Only God can forgive sins. They should have come to the conclusion, therefore, if Jesus just forgave that man's sins, Jesus is God. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm telling you, because he's God, he can say sins be gone, and they're gone like you've never sinned, as far removed as the east from the west. Oh, aren't you glad he's God? Oh, I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's easy. Jesus read their thoughts. It's easy for us to forget that God, listen this morning too, it's easy for us to forget that God sees our thoughts more clearly than we hear other people's words. Isn't that easy to forget? God knows whatever individual in this house has been thinking during this message. Some have been thinking, I'm so glad he sees my real need. I can't wait to pray today and let God minister to my need. I'm going to leave that there. But verse 9, listen, we got to get this. Jesus responded to their thoughts and said, we got to get one word here and I'll emphasize it. Is it easier to say to the sick of palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee? Or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? Jesus nor they were saying that one is easier than the other. They're not saying forgiving sins is easier than healing of paralysis. What they said in their minds was, it's easy to say your sin. You know what they were saying? They were trying to find a reason not to believe. So here's what they were reasoning. Jesus can tell that man his sins are gone, but who can tell whether or not it happened? That's easy to say your sins are gone. Yeah. But it'd be hard to say, rise up off that pallet, because everybody could see whether or not that really happened. And Jesus said, that's what you're reasoning. But so that you could know, when I said to the man, sins be gone, that they left, even though you couldn't see it. So you can know that. Now I'll turn my attention to his paralysis. And I'll say, get up off that pallet. And when that man gets up off that pallet, you will not only know that he's been healed of paralysis, you'll know that his sins left when I told him to leave. Paralysis leave, it left. Sins leave, they're left. Oh, hallelujah. Every time you read in the Bible of somebody, Jesus said, walk, they walk. You should say, my sins are gone. Every man Jesus said, see, and he saw. You said, my sins are gone. Every demon Jesus said, come out, they came out. You ought to lift a hand and say, my sins are gone. When he came out of that grave and showed his resurrected body, we ought to say, my sins are gone. You see, he did the visible so we could know that the invisible has taken place. Oh, hallelujah. There wasn't a person that left there that day. Sure, they were caught up with that. His paralysis is gone. He walked out of here a whole man. But something deeper was met because Jesus dealt with the deeper need. People left, leaving, saying, thank God. He told me my sins are gone. They're gone. I'm free. I'm delivered. I'll deal with them no more. I've been set free of my sin. Verse 11, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, go to thine house. I want to conclude for that, and then I'll ask the music to come. Jesus can forgive folks we think could never be forgiven. And that's what the Pharisees were thinking. They were thinking, that man can't be forgiven. But Jesus can forgive folks we think could never be forgiven. You see, I doubt that. Hey, a man with paralysis, he walked out of there that day. I'm not going to open up another sermon. I want to see miracles of healing so people can be alleviated of suffering. But Jesus just wasn't doing tricks. He wasn't just trying to wow the crowd. He wasn't even primarily trying just to alleviate immediate physical suffering. Jesus worked his miracles to confirm his word that he was the Son of God that takes away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. In fact, I think we'd have more miracles if that was our total, complete focus. God, work a miracle so that sinner in the house can know their sins can be forgiven. Hallelujah. What was the results of Jesus' response? I basically just want to read them to you. And immediately the man arose, he took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we have never seen it on this fashion. Oh, I've just got to really steer away from this. I'm telling you, if it's a miracle, nobody has to tell you, you just saw a miracle. And what I want you to think of is a lot of this scam and charlatanism on religious television. If it's a miracle, whether you're watching through the television or you're watching there, if it's a genuine miracle, nobody will have to tell you you just saw a miracle, because the people said, we've never seen it on this fashion. And the man didn't take baby steps, and they didn't coach him around and carry him halfway and set him down, pick him up. I'm telling you, he came off that path. Oh, I said hallelujah. And I want to tell you something else. I know there's things we struggle with. We got a flesh till we die. Remember, too many people are taught that's all God can do for you is make you feel good for a moment in the altar, but you still got to live with the same problems and the same hang-ups and the same habits. And then say, no sir, when Jesus says come up out of that sin, amen, you can just come out victorious, vigorous. I'm set free. I'm spiritually healed. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. It was a show of power visibly on the outside of man, so they could know how he was now walking on the inside, just like he's walking physically. Hallelujah, Sister Norvell. Inside, he's walking in newness of life. No more sin. Hallelujah. No more bondage on the inside. I said physically he's walking like this, but on the inside he's walking like that. Newness of life in the ways of God. And so I conclude this message. Did I call for music? Okay, I didn't know if I did or not. Amen. I conclude this message and say Jesus sees and he meets the deepest need. Hallelujah. Amen. I hope we can take that away from the story. Whether you're here or you're thinking of somebody, I want you to believe that this morning. Jesus sees the deeper need. Before we knew of this church, we hit a deer in Zanesville on the way to Pennsylvania to preach. Messed up the car. I literally got clothes hangers out of the back when they were still metal. And wired things together to get to the church. And so we decided we needed to get a new car because we'd headed for the coast of California after that church. Good scheduling. And we were at the dealership. It looked like a good deal. I mean, it was sharp on the outside. Even the interior, still the outside, but the interior of the car, it looked really sharp. But I'd worked as a maintenance mechanic in a rental yard, and I pulled that oil dipstick out. And some of you know what I'm talking about. I smelled it. And things started, red flags saying, that don't smell right. Don't smell right. They just changed the oil. It was fresh oil, but just for me, us test driving. It looked really good on the outside. Smelt something wrong. To this day, I can't stand Nebraska, especially Omaha. We got to Omaha, Nebraska, and that engine blew. And they began to talk about all the things that were wrong inside the bearings and the valves that were just shot, and how that salesman had just played some tricks, you know, to get us to buy it and get down the road. And I kept thinking, I knew. I said, it looked really good, but I knew there had to be something wrong inside that motor because the oil didn't smell right. And I'm not trying to be crude this morning, but Jesus knows how to pull the dipstick out and say, I'm going to deal with the real problem. Even as a preacher, I've missed it before. I've assumed this is that person's problem, or that's the person with the problem, because I was going on the visible. But, oh, Jesus knows how to get down deep. How many can kind of feel him pulling at that? You can kind of feel him pulling at that dipstick. I should have listened. And I want to tell you, just let me give you this word of advice, and we'll change the order of the service. When Jesus starts telling you what the real need is, listen to him. Don't be there after the car engine's blown up, so to speak, saying, I should have listened. Listen when his spirit's dealing, when his spirit's touching. If you're glad Jesus sees the deeper need, would you stand, lift your hands, and praise him? Could you do it? Oh, hallelujah. Come on, let's praise him. Jesus sees the deeper need. Jesus sees the deeper need. Oh, I want to be real honest this morning. Just keep on worshiping, whatever you want to do, but I want to be real honest this morning. You'd say, you know, if people look just on the exterior of my life, they would think everything's okay. Maybe not, but for many, you'd say, if people were just going by the exterior of my life, they would think everything's okay. But I know I've got a tremendous, I'm not just talking about, it may be sin, but I'm talking about other things than sin. And you'd say, I've got such a deep, deep problem. But I hear the voice of the Savior. I hear Him saying, be of good cheer, son, daughter. I see your deep need. And I'm fully capable and able of meeting your need. I want you to be real honest. If you feel like this morning Jesus is telling you, I see your deep need, I want you to come and begin to fill this altar. You just be honest. You feel like Jesus is telling you, I see your deep need. Would you come? There's others. Would you come? Jesus, you see my deep need. You feel like He's saying that to you. Maybe you feel like He's saying, cheer up. I know you're fighting a battle. I know there's a difficulty. Amen. Maybe you're here this morning. You're without Christ. I want you to know you're fully aware of what sin has done to your life. You know what it's done to you, what's done to your family, your body, your mind. But I'm telling you, Jesus isn't looking at that right now. He's looking at your heart and He's saying, son, daughter, I'll forgive your sins. I'll pardon you. I'll give you new life. You're here and you're not, you're without Christ. You don't know the Lord this morning. I want to invite you to come right now. Would you come to these steps we use as an altar? Amen. And say, I need Jesus. I feel like He's calling my name. I feel like He's addressing me when He says son, when He says daughter. Oh, hallelujah. How many would come to say, I know God read my thoughts this morning and He knows what I really need. Are you here? Is that you? You'd say, God read my thoughts this morning, just like He did on that day. Hallelujah. How many would like to come pray with these that have come? Won't you be one of those four and get Him as close to Jesus? Hallelujah. Others, would you come with these? Let's pray together. Hallelujah. Oh, He sees the deeper need. He sees the deeper need. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe you're already thinking about somebody you can bring to church or at least bring to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, help them. Lord, touch them. Lord, minister to them. Get them as close as you can to Jesus. Friend, I want you to know He's already read our thoughts. He knows what's going on the inside. He knows what you've been reasoning. Maybe you've even got the premises right, but you've got the conclusions wrong. You've come to the wrong conclusion. Let's seek Him together. Be one of the four friends. Pray for those that have come. Pray for those that have come. Oh, resurrection power. Resurrection power. Oh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank You for Your presence. We thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for
resurrection power. Fill me this hour, Jesus. Be Jesus in me.
Oh, let's pray this morning. Be one of those four friends. Pray for those that need prayer.